I said, what you know about it?
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Hello, hello. You're listening to The Stew. Jason Stewart here. This is my food podcast, Andre Conaparo. Say hello.
Hello.
This is the first podcast that we've done after we've recently been featured on iTunes.
Jesus. That's your opener?
Well,
Fair enough. It was a big deal. It was very exciting.
New and noteworthy.
Yeah, your boy is new and noteworthy right now.
I thought you were going to say the first podcast since the dip contest. Super Bowl, but all right.
Oh, yeah, we got to cover that as well.
We'll cover it, but continue your thought.
I was only saying that because there could be a larger number of new listeners to the show, and I just wanted to say hello and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to our man's, my man, Shona, friend of the show. He gave put in a good word for the stew and gave us a little new and noteworthy bump up, and we thank you for that. Right now, currently sitting number 4 on the iTunes charts for food podcasts.
I want to say I appreciate you.
Yeah, you are appreciated. And because of that, we needed a very tight special guest, my friend Aniz Ansari. Say hello.
Boom.
Hello. Listeners new and old. I'm new to everyone. So.
I brought Aniz on to the show for 3 reasons. He's already done my other podcast, Tall Tales, before a couple times. And
never heard of it.
He's a great pod man. Number 2, he lives around the corner from me and is very easily accessible and in
Navy's
my peripheral vision.
A little Navy status, as I like to say.
And number 3, he knows a lot about food, and he is a big food head just like we are. So I say, hey, why not?
I told Jason, I'm like, look, man, you had me on your other podcast to talk about me. I hate talking about me. What I love is talking about food.
Yeah.
Let's talk about food.
You and I ate food yesterday together.
Yes.
With our man David Cho, who's been on this show before as well.
Where'd you guys go?
One of my favorite spots in L.A., Yuncheon on Olympic, which is a Korean cold noodle spot.
Okay.
Yeah, it's spelled Y-U-C-H-U-N.
Space. I believe there's a space.
Y-U space C-H-U-N.
Also known as the cold noodle spot on Olympic, as I sometimes call it.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that a 7-Up in the bra situation?
No.
No.
It's a different. That okay. is Corner Place.
Yes.
Which okay. is, or a lot of places will do that. Where it's
That's
here.
Another spot. So the cold noodles is like a traditional Korean dish. And actually, yeah. there it's a little different at Corner Place, which is very good.
Yeah, it's
Corner
great.
Place has good.
I say it's a lot different. Too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The noodles are different. Cold noodles here is like a buckwheat noodle.
Mm-hmm.
The broth has like almost a slush. Type texture.
What?
You get some slushy ice in there.
So next level cold the noodle.
Real nicely thinly sliced marbled beef, mm-hmm. egg.
Yeah, yeah.
Some greens there, in there.
And
it's
a bunch,
great.
Bunch
it's
of
great.
Sesame seeds on there. But I think the main difference is the Corner Place that soup broth is like a clear, almost sure. chicken broth. I yeah. think.
Yes.
Light yellow.
At Yuchun, it's like more of a brown beef mm-hmm. stock broth.
What is the condiment situation?
A little spicy mustard,
mm-hmm.
a little
for sure.
vinegar, and then the other thing that's nice there is they have this like warm broth. It's like a warm version of the broth, and it's served in a self-service situation where there's basically cups at your table, and yeah. there's a little row of just like dispensers. You go get a little hot broth in your cup,
what?
And come sit down.
Yeah, it looks it's
lovely,
basically
like a nacho station
day.
For hot
yes.
Korean broth or warm
broth.
Korean broth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
It's sick
self-service
as hell.
Broth. Yeah, it's yeah, great.
It's like the it's like a big canister like you'd get hot water out
yeah,
of at
yeah.
a wedding or something like that.
Yeah, it's but lovely. It's lovely on a cold day. It's lovely on a warm day.
Sure.
Honestly, my favorite thing there was the complimentary hot broth.
Sure.
I had right. 3 cups of it in addition to my
giant bowl of noodles.
So is the idea that they're going at you super cold, so slushy that basically you can heat it up to temperature
no.
you
it's more,
want?
More of an app. No, 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 no.
No,
you don't mix and match.
No, you don't mix and match. So it's not, you're not
this is just like a little, like, you get a cup of broth to kind of awaken your palate, start the meal.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a little palate cleansing hot and cold.
Sure, sure. Okay, I actually, hearing this, I pictured like, oh, this is how you adjust the temperature.
No, it's nothing like that.
The two never meet.
Not only is that not done, I believe it is frowned upon. Well, as I learned,
we don't need to talk about that.
Ooh,
Jason was having some fun with his food at the restaurant. It wasn't really a good look for a white guy in the Korean restaurant.
Oh, getting
it's
frisky?
Like, yo, man, like, I come here a lot. Like, I don't need you tarning my rep. Like,
was there soju involved?
No.
No, it was lunch.
This was lunch.
That was lunch. It was lunch.
I was being a little silly. I was being a little, maybe a little silly, a little
defiant.
He's
known to riff. Was he throwing food around anyway?
I was not. I was not. I mean, like, there's a lot of ways that you can mess up at an Asian restaurant, like chopsticks sticking up in a vertical position, always frowned upon.
Don't do that. Not being loud. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Unless it's in a drinking establishment, though.
Well, then it's great. Yeah, then it's great. Then it's like your camaraderie.
Where do you draw the line?
Usually know where the line is.
Yeah, a lot of us usually know.
And then, there's so many others, like when you're eating the pho, like don't put any of the sauces in the broth. You want to have that on the side and dip the meats into it, or else you look like a fool. Don't.
Do's and don'ts.
And then when you're hitting the sush, you know, you're not supposed to, like the way you dip it into the soy sauce, you're not supposed to put the.
I think that's a real head thing.
You're not supposed to put the pickled ginger in with that. You're supposed to eat that on the side as a palate cleanser in between dishes.
There's a real, like,
that's what I do. I don't know what you guys do. You know.
That's some head stuff.
Rules.
Or you're not supposed to dip the nigiri into the soy sauce. You're supposed to take a piece of ginger and paint the soy sauce on top. In the rare occasion that you ever use the soy sauce with sushi, which you should never do.
Right.
Hey, man, I just follow the chef. You know what I mean? I follow the chef.
As the head,
he's taking me on the journey. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I wish. If it was up to me, I would have an omakase for dinner every single night.
I mean,
I would have it 3 times a week. You know what I mean? I don't think you want to do it every night.
All right. That's fair. 3 times a week.
I just feel like it's such a great experience. I never get to do it. It's a little bit out of daddy's price budget a lot of times.
Yeah.
But it's sick as hell. I mean, it's the most fun to eat.
I was recently traveling in Japan, and I did omakase with this guy. I was trying to go to another restaurant, and it's really funny. In Tokyo at the Barney's. At the Barney's in Tokyo.
Tokyo Barney's.
And then the Ginza neighborhood. Barney's, the famed high-end department store.
Mm-hmm.
At the Barney's in Tokyo in the Ginza neighborhood, on the top level, there's just like a food court. And there's restaurants there, but they're like good restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually sent a list of recommendations from friends. And there was a restaurant there I tried to go to. It was a teppanyaki place. And I went there, and they closed early because I was there around New Year's time. I was like, fuck, I'm starving. And I had also had like a previous, I tried to go to another restaurant and they had closed. So I was on my second spot.
And I'm trying to see a shrimp get thrown in a hat. That's what I'm looking for when you say teppanyaki.
You're thinking of Benny's.
All right.
I was walking around this small, there's like three or four restaurants in this top level of this department store. And there was a sushi place that was still open. I walked in. The chef there was, really, really nice. He spoke great English, and I chatted with him. And he was like, yeah, so you want to do, I was like, yeah, I want to do omakase. And he's like, sure. Do you want to do just regular omakase, or you can do kind of like my like omakase? And I'm like, yo, let's do yours.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me this one piece that I've never, it was a bite I had never really experienced before in my life. It was a very unique bite. It was a piece of amberjack.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of amberjack.
Delicious amberjack.
Delicious amberjack, obviously beautiful and fresh on the rice. And then on top, which I've obviously had amberjack before, but on top, a dollop of spicy mustard.
Mm.
Oh. A dollop of spicy mustard out of nowhere. And it was a great bite. It was one of the best bites of my trip. So yeah, I like the omakase. You know what I mean? I like love when the chef can have a little fun with the omakase.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted you to say human flesh. When you're like, it was a bite I've never had before.
Just
it
like
was
a little
crazy.
And then the door's like, locked.
Yeah, it was just
and
a
then,
little
you start. What's in this wine?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like,
have you seen The Handmaiden? Kind of like that kind of
yeah,
vibe.
Oh my god! Sure. Yes, my favorite movie of last year.
Oh,
okay. Movie of last year.
Hombre.
Snubbed at the Oscars. One of the most beautiful. The production design of The Handmaiden is.
Yeah, regardless of the story or how you.
Yeah,
feel
I mean
about
it was a little much at times. But
it looks
yeah,
incredible.
Looks incredible. Yeah, mm-hmm. Shout out to Park Chan-wook. Come on the pod. Let's talk. Let's have eat. I would.
What do
love,
you like to eat? Food.
I would love. You know, he's. I'm. You know, I'm a writer for film and TV, and Park Chan-wook's like one of my, you know, idols, mm-hmm, inspirations. I love his films, and would love to just have a meal with them, you know?
I was thinking of, about food that appears in movies, and like whenever you're watching a movie and you see a dish appear and you're like, I really want to eat that. Well, like speaking of Japanese stuff, I've been reading a lot of Murakami lately, and the way he talks about, a lot of times people are eating Japanese food and having like a Japanese beer, and I've been wanting to have is Japanese beer. Like that's the only alcohol I want to drink lately.
Me too.
So it's like engraved in my brain. Where like I want the little small glass cup. I want a cold Sapporo, Asahi, Kirin, whatever it is. Pour it a little bit in. Blah blah blah. But then I was watching Sicario.
Oh yeah.
Which is a fantastic movie. We've all seen it, of course.
And probably was my favorite of last year.
Sicario, yeah. I thought was 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
Oh, it's 2017. Yeah. It's 2015. Yeah, it's so close. But yeah. So,
and then the cop in the movie who lives in Mexico, he kind of...
Oh, he's making his breakfast?
Yeah, the breakfast.
Oh, my God.
And I was watching it, and it appeared twice in the movie where he's like, hey, you know, go tell your mom to make me some breakfast. And then the little kid runs in, and he's like, papa, papa, your eggs are ready. And like,
yeah,
and he's eating it. And
well.
It's like... But he lives in kind of like a... Kind of a shabby little village, like you can tell they don't have a lot of money. There's chickens running around. There's dirt everywhere. But then this plate arrives, and he's like kind of hungover. He's pouring the whiskey in his coffee in the morning. And it's a plate with just like refried beans, pinto beans,
I think scrambled I made eggs, some beans and some flour and eggs tortillas. After I watched it,
and I was like, that looks so
when
good.
When it's done well and it makes you do it, it's so crazy. I've had that happen a lot. Like I did. I remember I saw the Hateful Eight, Quentin Tarantino's last movie, and I saw the 70mm presentation, which when they do that, there's a there was an intermission in the middle.
Yeah.
And there was a thing in the movie where like they were freezing cold, and when they came into this like shack they were all kind of stuck in, they would pour the coffee. And during the intermission, I went and saw it at the Arclight in Hollywood. I ran to the lobby and got coffee. I was like, oh, my God, that looks so good. Like,
it looks so good.
I, like, want some coffee.
What day did you go?
I mean, I think that went like it was like a week or two after it came out.
Okay, because we went together the same 70mm presentation on the 26th. I think it only ran for a week.
Yeah, I wasn't in town during Christmas. Yeah. I went right after Christmas, right, the week after,
So, oh yeah, they would.
But when the food's popping in the movie, it makes you want to get it. Very infamously, me and my friend in high school got really stoned and went and saw the remake of the movie 310 to Yuma. Mm-hmm. And like we didn't eat lunch before we went. And then like in the middle of the movie, there's a scene where they get to, I think it's Christian Bale's house, and his wife cooks them a meal and they make like a steak. And we're in the middle of this movie, stoned out of our mind. I was so hungry. And I just like looked at my friend and I'm like, yo, man. There's like a steakhouse like right around the corner. You just want to bounce. And he was like, yeah.
You left
no
the movie?
Yeah,
way.
We left the movie and got a steak. And it was like a crazy movie too, because we were like 16-year-old kids and we just went to like a steakhouse and like two
That's
stoner kids in a steakhouse.
So
like,
great. Can you describe your outfits at the time? Can you let me know what was on top and what was on bottom?
Very specifically, you know, skinny. My friend had skinny jeans on. I had skinny black pants.
Yeah.
We both had long hair.
Yeah.
My friend, I'm Indian. My friend was white, white quarter Korean, so like a little pinch of Asian. And we had just like really like, my friend probably had like a really bright pink or orange like Blood Brothers shirt. And I probably had
very
like
tight.
A like... super like aggressively like dark imagery like Mastodon or Between the Buried and Me or Converge, some type of metal shirt. So we're like
for sure
really standing out. Me and the same friend would always get really stoned and go to this barbecue restaurant in our hometown, Columbia, South Carolina. It's my favorite restaurant in the world. This place called Little Pig's Barbecue. And it's this barbecue shack in like the middle of nowhere, like off the highway, like across the street from like a small trailer park.
Right.
And
attached to a gas station situation.
And we would like, it's also like the people who go there are just like working class people, like people who work. There's like a big Blue Cross Blue Shield nearby, military people. There's Fort Jackson in Columbia, and like families. And we would go there in these like loud clothes, completely standing out, really stoned. And it was also like in the like early years of me getting stoned, we're like, like laughing at stuff was a problem, and we would just have these huge lashing fits, and it'd just be like, yeah, create a lot of mischief there. But I go back there now and pay my respects.
So, what do you order when you go there?
But you live to tell the tale.
barbecue places in South Carolina are the best because they're all usually buffet style. So you go in there, you pay like $10, you get in the buffet. You got, so Carolina style is traditionally mustard based. You have a mustard based sauce. Little Pigs, Little Pigs was the best because they had all three. They had a mustard based sauce, a vinegar based sauce, and just a classic like a tomato based sauce. So you had all three, the pulled pork. And actually the twist is I didn't eat pork till I was 19. So when I was going there as a kid, I didn't eat any pork. I just got, they also have like fried chicken and then all the fixins. So I would just get fried chicken, beef brisket, and like fixins, your mac and cheese, your green beans, your hush puppies, your cornbread, your greens. Baked beans,
much like hash. Much like the coffee scene in, or the steak scene in 310 to Yuma. I want some hush puppies
hush
right
puppies,
now.
Hush puppies.
You're getting some, if you're listening to this podcast
but
right now.
Yeah, so like it was a thing where I went there all throughout my like childhood and teenage years, and I never had the pulled pork. And then I remember the first time I like came back home after I started eating pork. It was a big day.
It was sitting under your nose the whole time.
It was sitting under my nose the whole time, and I was not disappointed. It's very good. If you're
that's sweet
ever
twine.
In Columbia, South Carolina, go to Little Pigs and then leave because there's nothing else. that decrepit town. I love Columbia. It's my hometown, and I love it very much. But it's, you know, if you live in Columbia, you know what I'm saying. It's, you know, it's a dark
what
place.
Is the what is the correct method of marijuana delivery when you're about to have that barbecue? Are we doing edibles? Are we doing a joint? Are we doing a bubbler in the car? Are we doing
Columbia,
a bomb
so
hit in the car?
This was get like smoke a swisher in the car driving around my neighborhood, and then like it's like off this like what you'd call a country road, you know what I mean, which is like kind of an unmarked road. This road called Percival Road, and then kind of cruise down there, like hands clicked on the wheel, and then like because the thing was like during the day, like if you got stoned during the day, like my on a weekend, like my like. I live with my aunt and uncle. My aunt and uncle are home, so it was like we would go and get high, and then it would just be like, fuck, well, we can't like immediately go home because it's like, hey, we're leaving. It's not like, oh, we went outside for 15 minutes and came back.
And we smell like weed now.
We would go get lunch.
I'll be back in 7 hours.
We'd go to bar. We'd go to Little Pigs of Barbecue. We'd go to Zaxby's was a spot we'd go to, which is Zaxby's is like a chain restaurant
Zaxby's.
In the South. It's like basically chicken fingers and chicken wings.
Yep.
And that's like one of my favorite places.
It seems like you were doing like a Southern Clerks like activity.
I mean, that was basically we would go eat fried
go to
foods.
The comic book store.
Yes. Well, that was, that we did that too. Yeah. Me and my one friend would go every Wednesday before we went to the comic book store. I wasn't really stoned then because we went like right after school, but. New Comic Wednesdays would always be paired with barbecue.
Such a good look.
Such a good look.
Maybe a movie.
Well, dude, I always wanted. There was before we
Clerks 3.
Before we did barbecue, we went to little. Me and my friend Steven would go to the comic book shop every Wednesday. And we had this thing too, where me and him, like our last 2 years of high school, like got out of school at lunchtime, basically. Because we did like whatever advanced classes, earlier classes, blah blah blah. So
must be nice, smarty pants.
I mean, it was. Get home
yes, it was nice.
Get high all day and hang out.
I worked very hard. For that
I
nice
worked nice. Very hard for that, and it worked out too because I worked very hard when I didn't have a car, and then once I got a car, I was like, cool, I'm cruising.
oh, that is smart.
But we eventually would go get barbecue every day, and then go to the comic book shop. But for a while, we used to go to this great comic book store that was in Columbia called Acme Comics and Records. It was like a real like hip comic book shop, record shop. No longer there. But for a while, they were in a certain area in Columbia called Rosewood, which is like just an area not near where we lived. It's like a 30-minute drive, and just no reason for us to go there besides go to the comic book store. And there was a pizza place there that was really good.
Ooh.
It's called Dano's Pizza, which Dano's is still open. So if you're in Columbia, shout out to Dano's. It's my favorite pizza in Columbia. And Dano's was right across the street. It was just like, it's just like a slice spot, right? You know what I mean? And like previously in my life, there was no like slice spots near me. So it was a slice spot. It was really nice. And, like, you know, we went to the comic book shop, and it was run by this really cool guy. His name was Phil. He was kind of like a hipster dude, a big beard, rocking the plaid. He was, like, a real nice guy. And, like, most of the people that went there were older. Were these two kind of, like, dumb high school kids that would come and drive up. And, like, he would let us hang out and kind of gave us a place to hang out. And they were really cool. And, like, it was, like, cool. We're hanging out with older people, blah, blah, blah. And then we'd go get pizza. And then at the pizza spot, there was a girl who was like kind of like this like hippie girl, and she would serve us every week. We'd come in there, we'd get our books, we'd go get our pizza, read our comics, eat our slice of pizza.
Same pizza?
Same pizza, just like a cheese slice.
Cheese slice.
You know what I mean? At the time, again, I wasn't dabbling.
Never went sausage.
Wasn't eating pork at the time, if you recall.
There you go.
What about a ranch dip?
I would fuck her. I fuck her. It was the type of pizza you could fuck around with a ranch dip. I don't think I did the ranch dip there too much, but for like 2 years, that was our thing. And then one day we went to the shop and Phil was like, hey man, I just got some news. We're moving the shop. The guy who runs a building up the rent, and we're just going to move to another space downtown, leaving Rosewood. And we're like, okay. And we're like, bon, we're not going to get to eat Dano's anymore because there's no reason for us to go to that area. It's not like blah, blah, blah. So like, you know, we went to Dano's that last day. And like normally, like they would call your name. You'd order, you'd go sit down, they'd call your name, you go pick it up. This time the girl came and brought us the food and was like, hey, so it's your guy's probably not gonna be coming around anymore. And you're like, yeah, they moved to
the violin
shop,
music.
And like, we don't live in this area, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, when I was a little kid, I had a best friend. He was this little chubby kid. And he was my best friend. We hang out all the time. And then when we got a little older, like, he became like my first boyfriend, and we were like really close. And then we grew apart. And then years later, he opened a comic book shop right across the street from where I work. And I was like, holy shit, these two people.
What?
Like, I knew, I interacted with these two people every week. And I had no idea there was this crazy backstory.
That's amazing.
It blew my mind. It was like one of the most like beautiful moments in my life.
Sure.
I remember it like a movie.
Damn.
And so,
she was like, side note, I sell weed if you want to come back and get pizza.
I wonder what happened.
I mean,
to that girl. Phil, the comic book shop guy, went on to work at Anson Mills, the great grits provider.
I've got
which is based in my hometown.
You
see
my
best grits, the best grits, the best grits.
Way to bring it around to food, by the way.
I have Anson Mills
That's
grits
doing,
in
bro.
The freezer right now.
Best grits Holler. In the country, Anson Mills.
Carolina Gold White Rice.
Mm-hmm. The best. Co-signed Anson Mills. It's Carolina.
I was looking at a bag of grits today. And then I was also looking at a jar of Bojangles seasoning salt, which I blessed you with. And then I was like,
blessed you.
What if you make, instead of adding salt to the grits, you add the Bojangles seasoning salt and make Bojangle grits? Is that too crazy?
It's not too crazy, man. You can put that seasoning on anything. Let me tell you, I did this thing the other day. I got the Bojangles seasoning from him. And Bojangles, if you don't know, is another fried chicken chain in the South. It's very popular. It's a fried chicken and biscuit chain. It's one of my favorite places. If you're ever flying through Charlotte Douglas Airport, there's a Bojangles in Terminal B. Slide through, get the Anise order, Cajun filet biscuit, and a Bowberry biscuit on the side. We'll get a couple of Texas Pete hot sauces on the side.
Do you get the packet of grape jelly as well?
Well, Bowberry, you don't need a jelly. Sometimes I do get a plain biscuit and grape jelly because I do like a plain biscuit and grape
what
jelly.
What is a Bowberry biscuit?
Bowberry is a biscuit with kind of like... a fake berry element like you would find in like a cake mix or something,
sure.
Or like a muffin mix. And then it's like covered, drizzled in like vanilla icing. It's
like
very delicious.
Like a fruity pebbles situation
it's
in
a
the
fake
fruit world.
Yeah, yeah, like a fake sure. fruit and then drizzled with icing. It's very good. But they also have very
that
famously...
I've never had.
I've had Bojangles, but I've never had that.
We'll get it next time. They have a fries dish called Potato Rounds, and they have like a very specific seasoning, Bojangles seasoning. It's in the realm of like a Lowry seasoning salt,
yep.
which I put on everything.
Yep.
But it's kind of its own little niche of that. Mm-hmm. And
big difference, Lowry's doesn't have MSG, Bojangles does.
I don't know that for a fact. Is that a fact?
I do know that
Oh,
for
that's
a fact.
Fact. Well, no wonder it's good.
Hello.
But MSG is fine. Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
I got a thing from Jason, and I've been using it in my cooking a lot, and I did a really nice dish the other day where I had just some Yukon Gold potatoes in the fridge. I got a little olive oil, put it in the bowl, put in some crushed garlic, just a little bit of crushed garlic, some chopped green onions, mm-hmm. and then just swagged it out with some Bojangles seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Put that over some sliced Yukon Golds, toss that in the oven for, you know, like half an hour, 375, and just like... It was a really nice potato
so
side.
So you made like a roasted bongerling potatoes?
Yes, bongerling potatoes.
That sounds
really
good.
It was really nice. It was the perfect like crisp on the olive oil gets it real crisp on the outside, but you cook it well enough where it's creamy on the inside and the Bojangles kind of like pops the palate a little. It's really nice.
Are these like,
and
like half
don't
inch slices?
Sleep. Well, yeah, just like real thin, you know, thin as possible.
Oh, thin as possible.
Thinner, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, got it.
Is it potatoes beau gratin?
potatoes. I think it's more in the vein of a potatoes au gratin.
Just no cheese.
And no cheese, but olive oil. And don't sleep on the green onion element, because I kind of threw those in kind of like I had green onions. But what ended up happening was obviously they gave a little flavor in there, but the green onions kind of like little crispers.
Yeah, that's the shit.
Came little crispers. You saw it in my eyes.
I was like, I know what's going on here. I can see inside your soul right now. Crispy green onions.
Yeah, yeah, the little crispy green onions in there. So yeah, it's a great, great, great side dish. I'd recommend it. If you want to purchase this niche seasoning from a fast food chain in the South and make these potatoes.
I wonder, like, I mean, it must be on Amazon, right? I didn't even look.
It
was very nice of our friend to send us this giant care package of great things.
Yeah, we're spreading that jangle out.
But when the Bojangles runs out in my cupboard, because I copped one too, I will reorder.
I will reorder too.
I will find it again.
It's a good thing to have in the fridge, especially for me, because like I said, I do put Lowry's on a lot of stuff. It's like I can have a little slight remix.
Yeah, right?
For sure. Also, quick shout out to... I don't use it as much anymore, but I was obsessed with it growing up and through college. Tony Shasheries. You never had Shasheries?
Is that the Greek seasoning?
Italian. No, that's an Italian. It's like an Italian spice blend. It comes in like a green container. It's got the little chef with the white hat. Never had Tony C's?
I know this completely. I'm giving Jason a visual.
It's a real pop. It's just like a niche. It's similar to Lowry's. It's like a niche seasoning, but I got obsessed with it, and as like a little kid,
Tony
C's. Put it on everything.
In my house growing up,
but it's just like a Creole seasoning, basically. It's Creole seasoning.
My house growing up, it was the Spike brand seasoning. I've seen this.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Old Bay.
For sure, Old Bay.
Tony Shasheries.
Old Bay.
Isn't it so weird that a guy named Tony Shasheries is like, all right, I'm going to make some salt, and then I'm just going to be like a millionaire.
Did you have wiener schnitzels where you were when you were a kid?
There is no wiener schnitzel. Okay.
Are you talking about shaker fries?
I know the schnitz.
I'm about to talk about shaker fries, baby.
Do you remember shaker fries?
I know it from knowing wiener schnitzel now.
Do they still have shaker fries now? Shaker fries still, do they?
No, I just read about it.
Yeah. Because there, when I was
he
a kid,
did a dissertation on them, but
the missing, like the holy grail of seasonings. I remember the ranch shaker fry seasoning being so incredible. And this is, again, as a child, so who knows what it's like. If I got to go back in time and try, I'd be like, this is the shit I'm still dreaming about.
My favorite food when I was growing up, quick aside, was Ryan's, the buffet place. Do you know? It's like Golden Corral.
Okay.
It's like, this is like Golden. And it was my favorite restaurant. And I'd always get my parents taking for my birthday and stuff. And they'd hate taking me. Like, I didn't understand. And I remember me and my friend Steven, my friend I go to the comic book shop with, when we first, like, it was like the second week we could drive. We like had a weekend and we're like, what do you want to do? And I was like, dude, we can drive. We can go anywhere. I was like, let's get lunch. We're like, dude, let's go to Ryan's. And we went to Ryan's and then we were like, flash cut to like, wow.
Yeah, that's fucking...
This is a bunch of shitty food.
Yeah, we should never come here ever again.
Yeah, that happened to me.
That was the last time I went to Ryan's.
That happened to me when I went to Sizzler in my teens or in my 20s.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say when you guys were talking about movies, Jackie Brown. Every time I watch Jackie Brown, I'm like, I should go to Sizzler. And it's happened. It happens, and then like I'll go, and then I'll be like, oh, it's horrible. I don't want to go here anymore. But then like 8 years later, I'll watch Jackie Brown and be like, I should just go to, like, if it's enough time for me to forget how bad Sizzler is, I'll go back to Sizzler.
Did you guys see The Founder?
No, I haven't seen the McDonald's movie.
I haven't seen it because I know if I see it, I'm going to kill some McDonald's after. I'm going to feel that. Even I watched the trailer and I was like, damn, dude, I listened to just like a podcast that was talking about it, and I was like, fuck, dude, I could just slide McDonald's real quick right now, like, get a double cheese.
So if we've learned anything, you are easily persuaded.
Easily persuaded into food.
Yeah. Was there Indian cooking in your house?
Yes.
Was there Indian food in Colombia?
Every day. My mom and when I lived with my uncle cooked Indian food. Basically, I grew up on a mix of Southern-style Indian food. My family's from the southern area of India, Tamil Nadu area, Kerala region, Chennai region. So that style of food is different than what people understand as Indian food.
Is that dosas?
We eat dosas, but it's not. So the restaurants, the Indian food that's served in restaurants is more analogous to like northern Indian food, like what you'd get in New Delhi and stuff like that. And it's good. It's good food, and I like it.
Sure.
But southern Indian food is just different. Well, there's just so many different regions in India, and like the food varies in there. And southern Indian food is kind of differs in the same way that southern food in America differs from a traditional American food. It's a little more flavorful. There's a lot more seasonings going on. There's a lot more of a variety of sides and vegetables. You know, like, so like a southern style curry or biryani is like, you know, like a southern style curry is like a little more spicy, a little more layered with flavor. You know,
got some stank on it.
We do biryani, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, like a kind of like a jambalaya type dish, right. heavily seasoned rice with food.
Yep.
And Kerala is a region I have a lot of family in. We go to where Kerala cuisine is like a lot of seafood, and it's like a mixture of seafood and then a variety of like pickled vegetables and sides. So
damn,
you get like
some Korean jump
you
up.
Get like
you get
banchan. Like
the Indian
you
banchan.
Go you go get like you go to a restaurant there, they give you a banana leaf, they'll come around, you get some fried fish, they'll slop some rice on there, you get a little yogurt on the side for a cool, and then just a bunch of different pickled vegetables. It's amazing. So
it sounds like heaven.
It's great. And there's only like it's very rare to find that style of cuisine in restaurants here. Like in New York, there's a Sri Lankan restaurant in the Valley that I've been to that has some like decent like similar flavors, but outside that, LA to at least my taste like doesn't have the best Indian food.
Sure.
New York, there's a couple of restaurants. There's a restaurant called my favorite restaurant for Indian food in New York was a restaurant called Kokum, and they did like pretty close to that style of food, but hopefully it's open now. I was going there a lot and they had to recently close, and they said they're reopening in another location. So shout out to Kokomo if they're open, but it was a mixture of that type of food.
How do you spell that?
KOKUM.
Okay.
And if not, there's a restaurant called Unjapar that's pretty good too, but that's Chetnad style, which is like a specific type of cuisine specific to the city of Chennai. And that's like a little like that's like a little too spicy for its own good. I kind of defined that.
Sure.
Is that the Szechuan of
it's
India?
It's a little more top of the Szechuan. It's like, okay, who are you trying to impress here?
Yeah. I'm saying that about this
Chetnad and not Szechuan food. I love Szechuan food. That's not a slime. Slime Szechuan food. But it was a mixture of that and then American Southern style food. There's a woman who basically raised me and took care of me. Like, both of my parents worked, so we had like a caretaker at my house. And she like cooked me like soul food like every other day for lunch, and then taught me how to make fried chicken. And then similarly, when I lived with my uncle, he taught me how to make curry. My uncle very infamously, like my aunt took like a painting class every week, and she did like still lifes and whatnot of flowers and whatnot and fruit bowls. but she did this painting class every week, and on those weeks, like me and my uncle would cook. And I remember very vividly one time when I was a kid, he was like, "You got to learn to cook. Man, you gotta learn to do laundry and all that shit. Like you can never," he said an off color joke, which was you should never have to rely on a bitch for anything. That was an off color joke. I'm not saying that joke. I don't think it was a good joke in retrospect. It was of its time.
Sure.
My uncle's from a different era. But so that's we
appreciate the sentiment.
That's like, you know, Southern style food and Indian food are my two favorite things to cook, which I don't cook a lot. Right now, I don't do Indian food a lot just because I live in a condo and the smell I can't contain.
Sure.
but when I'm at my brother has a nice kitchen, a big kitchen with a great exhaust, so I'll go cook Indian food there. And then soul food, I'll cook soul food. Like I used to in college do, as I've talked about, I talked about on Jason's other podcast, I'm a big pro wrestling fan, and I used to do this thing where.
Hell yeah.
Three of my best friends would come over every Monday to watch Monday Night Wrestling, and I'd cook like just a soul food dinner, basically do like fried chicken, biscuits, mac and cheese.
So
we do fish fries sometimes.
So when you say college, not in a dorm, it's like you got.
I lived in an apartment building.
Kitchen.
Yeah, I lived in an apartment building. Yeah. I lived in an apartment building in college. So yeah, we
that
do like a full,
like
full
you,
southern
you
spread.
You are the best guy in the world.
Yeah, I love like, my. I love
yo,
my. I love
he's
my.
He's gonna be making fried chicken and fried fish.
Was it kind of like a Monday is a new Saturday scenario?
Well, we're
because
popping
you look
off.
Forward to it
we're
so much.
Dude, it was fun, man. I miss it, man. Like, cause we would cook and like we get really high and then joke around, play video games, and fucking watch wrestling. And because when you do soul food,
yo, let's
food
bring
like
that back.
When you do soul,
yo, 2017, New Year's resolutions. Let's bring that
let's
back
bring
every
that back.
Monday night.
Cause soul food, like, I just need like kind of like a squad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure. Sure.
It's a lot, but I love doing that. But now I try to like. It's like if I'm now I kind of have a mentality where it's like if I'm cooking for myself. I like try to cook on not the healthier side, but in the healthier direction.
Same,
you know what I
for
mean?
Sure.
It's mm-hmm. like, 'cause I'm already cooking for myself. Like I like to do like, and I'm not I'm kind of like a little anti like extremely healthy food. Like I'm not trying to eat quinoa.
Mm-hmm.
Like I need to eat rice. You know what I mean?
Yep.
My compromise was that like I eat rice like say like four or five times a week, six times a week. Like I'm an Asian guy. I try like half of its brown rice. You know what I mean? That's my like, you know what I mean? Half of its brown rice. I'll do like a brown rice thing.
But also,
but
like,
I try to do that. I try to eat like, okay, if I'm eating meat, it's a good meat. I'm eating fresh vegetables. You know what I mean? And just cook it well. Like, that's kind of my healthy eating.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think put that's a shit ton of butter. You know what I mean?
But also, it's like,
these vegetables are so healthy. Half a stick of butter.
Yeah. Just dipping it in ranch. But also, you know, restaurants can do unhealthy food better than you can at home. Like,
yes.
Like the,
yes.
The commercial deep fryer is what you want your deep fried food to go in.
Yes.
You don't want it to be like necessarily in your house. Like unless you have a good deep fryer or you've got a really good candy thermometer and you really know like the oil temp
when I fry
and you're
chicken,
doing a Dutch
like, okay,
oven.
Like I'm doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I did,
Let's walk us through your fried chicken.
So the Anise fried
chicken.
If
you're okay, if you're okay with releasing it to the world,
I'll throw it out there. I'll throw it out there, just in audio form. No one fucking transcribed it. If I see a transcription, you'll be hearing from my lawyer like, on some reel. I'm only authorizing this for audio use only.
You're gonna be dead tonight.
I'm licensing this to the Sue. Jason, I'll send some paperwork. You'll hear from my lawyer tomorrow.
That's fine. That's fine.
So I do this. This is fried chicken. How my my nanny taught me how to make it, and. First off, like, get breadcrumbs out of here. If you're fucking rolling up on some breadcrumbs, like, get it out of here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like,
all right.
Egg wash, like, there's great fried chicken with egg wash, but not my fried chicken. Get egg wash out of here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very specific
recipe. You
already
got me. I'm
excited. All I need is some flour. So this is the recipe. One thing I like to do is I'm a big drumettes fan.
Sure.
So I'll just do wings and drumettes because you just want to you want dark meat and you want to maximize the
surface area,
the skin to dark meat ratio. And I love a big good drumstick if it's done good, but I like to do drummies. And you can call them drummies, which is fun, something my brother likes to do a lot. As featured in the TV show we do, there's a whole drummies bit we did. But
wait, is that in season one?
Season one of Master of None in the Nashville episode. We do a shout out to White Sauce Drummies.
White Sauce Drummies, I remember that.
But that's basically just me and my brother jokingly saying drummies over years we put in the TV show. So you get the drummies, clean them up, and then the twist is, and this is how my nanny taught me to make it, and she used to do it, do a little Dijon mustard.
Buh.
Bowl of drummies, a spoon of Dijon mustard.
Down as hell, but
mix
never,
it up.
This is the first time. I've heard many things. This is the first
Dijon
time I've
mustard.
Heard
so
spoonful
Dijon
of Dijon.
is the wet binding agent.
The wet binding agent, yeah. A little Dijon mustard.
The WBA.
Mix it up, and then I like to do a seasoning on the drumsticks. One guess what's going on here.
Jangles,
it's a little
Lowry's.
It's a little Lowry's. Yeah. It's a little Lowry's.
Wait, do you do a Lowry's before the flour dredge?
Before the flour dredge on the chicken. So you got the
so
Dijon.
You don't mix it with the flour. You hit it with the Lowry's.
Lowry shows up again during the flour process. So, you know, but get a heavy little sprinkle. I would define it as a sprinkle, not a dash, not a pinch,
it
but
a sprinkle
of Lowry's. Give it a good massage. Get the meat in there.
Mm-hmm.
Heat up your oil. Just use like, always use canola oil. That's just what we had in my house.
Straight up.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you could do it in peanut oil. It'd be fine.
Cottonseed oil.
Cottonseed oil. Well, I mean, I'm not going to co-sign cottonseed oil.
I'm sure it's fine.
You get the just, and then flour on the side. You do a flour mix, just a little pepper and a little Lowry's.
Mm-hmm.
No point putting salt in there at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the oil is at a good temperature, just do a quick dab of flour. Toss it in there. When it gets golden brown, pull it out, toss it on some paper towels, give it another sprinkle of regular salt, and then it's good to go. Serve with, you know, some biscuits, gravy, rice,
wow,
mac and cheese.
So like you'll do a fried chicken with rice?
I don't. I do fried chicken with rice all the time, yeah. Why wouldn't I do fried chicken with rice?
Fair,
rice and gravy. Rice and gravy is, again, that's the cross section of Asian and Southern. It's like I have rice and gravy every meal.
But my folks
also triple starching a lot. You
sure.
Know what I mean, I come from like the meat and three culture, which is like any restaurant in the South. You go, you get a plate of one meat, a fried chicken, a roast, fried fish, pork loin, whatever, and then you get three vegetables. Which vegetables meaning sides? You just call all sides in the South are vegetables.
Macaroni and cheese is
a vegetable. Macaroni and cheese is a vegetable. Rice and gravy is a vegetable. So like. I would do like double starch on the side. I would get rice and gravy and mac and cheese usually. And then I'm having cornbread or some shit on the side too. So it's like a triple
sure.
starch.
Hush puppy.
It's like, yeah.
Fried okra?
Okra.
So my parents live in Hawaii.
Also, screw you for eating all that food and having such a svelte figure.
Hey, yeah. Man, I got it. Again, that's why I got to have those healthy, those half-week brown rice so I don't get I don't get skinny fat.
Brown rice Wednesdays.
I don't get that gut.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So they do like a firecracker chicken, which is like a very like ubiquitous Hawaiian dish. But it's always... It's very starch.
Yeah.
So it's like the chili pepper chicken or the firecracker chicken. There's different names, but it's always the same dish. Mm-hmm. It's like very sweet, very spicy, very fried. And then it's a scoop of rice, scoop of macaroni salad, like always. Like like that's like, and then you pick your side. Like it's just not even like rice or macaroni salad. No, it's,
you gotta
always,
get both.
It's always both. And then like,
dude,
what
starches
else
are
want?
A big part of my life. I, you know, I met a girl and she was, she is like on some like gluten free, like, you know, dating around and stuff. Like, me and people are gluten free. It's like, man, that's gluten's such a huge part of my life. Like, you know, gluten. And then it's like, oh, I don't do any starches either. It's like, you can't eat rice too. Like, you're
like G-Life.
Mm-hmm. G-Life, get out of there.
It's tough. I mean, we could all relate. We've all been there. Not all of us have been there, but you know, dating people with different dietary standards as you is a real issue.
I feel like
it's all I've ever done.
Me too. I run into it a lot. And I have a thing too where it's like, man, like there's a certain aspect where it's like, oh, they're like whatever day to day, you know, like we got to eat different stuff. That I don't think is a big deal. It's fine. But it's just like, man, I love cooking and I love making, you know, I love making the southern plate that I've talked about. And I love making, you know, I'll do like a chicken curry with rice and yogurt and some vegetables and stuff. Like I love doing that. And I want to be able to, you know, like on a deeper talk, I think, you know, a big aspect of love and relationships is like sharing the things you love. And just like, I would love, you know, I love cooking and kind of sharing that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
As a Indian cooking enthusiast yourself, do you know the Mata Joffrey cookbooks?
I've never read them, but I know of them. Yes.
Those are what I've done my Indian cooking from and been happy with it.
Yes.
Would not be like, oh, I'll definitely impress somebody who knows more than me about this.
Yeah.
But I really love the books are super approachable. The recipes, like if you have an Indian grocery close to you, I mean,
yeah. They're just looking and most for, don't sleep. Don't think you might think you don't, but look, like, you know what I mean? Like I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina. We had Indian grocery. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Mm-hmm. We're blessed with Indian sweets and spices just down the road. So garam masala or fenugreek or any of these things that I need for stuff is very easy.
Yeah, we'd always have that. And, you know, my specific type, my favorite, I don't have it right now. I need to get a re-up. But my aunt that I lived with, she will make a mix, you know what I mean, of these type of spices. She'll just make a pre-mix, keep it ready, and then just that's your curry spice.
And hit
she'll
those send garbanzos
me, she'll mail
with
me.
That,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you're
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Do like a quip, you know what I mean? Like curry. My uncle, too, you know what I mean? There's different approaches to curry. And, you know, there's approaches that it's real low and slow along. You're taking a long time. But my uncle, like, in the South Indian style, like, taught me how to make curry very quickly, very efficiently. Chop up some onions, little dried red pepper, curry spice, toss in the chicken, little tomato element, let it settle. Boom, you got a curry. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I like to do curry, like, quick. You know what I mean? I don't have time to cook around and stuff. But it's a good... It's a good thing, you know what I mean? Like, it's a good thing to try, like, you know what I mean? Like, I like dabbling, you know what I mean?
It's incredible.
It's worth, like, even, like, stuff like Korean cuisine and Indian cuisine, it's, like, always a thing where you have to go out of your way to get these, like, specific spices and all that. Not, but it's definitely worth trying, as you know, seeing all these new flavors is...
I think it also becomes kind of like, or at least for me personally... it becomes really kind of fun and satisfying where you do something that takes effort and is a little different and kind of like investigative, or you have to find the place to get it and then you bring it home and you make it and you're like, I made this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, it's satisfying.
Even if
in a
way, doesn't turn out amazingly, you're like, whoa.
Even if you've had a better like butter chicken or a better chana masala or whatever it is, you know, like the ubiquitous dishes that you're used to making or used to eating in Indian food, American Indian food, but you make that yourself and you're like, okay, this is fun.
Yeah, I did. You know, I love, you know, living in LA, I love Korean food a lot. And, you know, go to, you know, that's like, oh, go to any great Korean restaurant
and
stuff. It'll be the best.
You
know what I mean? It's one of the best parts of living in LA. Yep. But I get to I dabbled with cooking some Korean stuff. There's a great book called Cook Korean, and it's by an artist named Robin Ha. And it's basically like a graphic novel with all these. I followed her online for many years, and she used to do it on a blog where it's these beautiful kind of illustrated recipes on how to do like classic Korean dishes, your scallion pancakes, your, you know, different things like that.
She was featured in a Lucky Peach when that came out.
That's how I saw it for the first time.
She's super cool.
So yeah,
cool.
Check her stuff out online, Robin Hawk Korean. And then yeah, I like did a scallion pancake. I had to get a couple things. It was a little bit of work, but it's like, oh, cool. Like, you, I know how to make this now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
it's fun.
You learn different techniques and stuff. It's worth it. I love kind of experimenting like that too. Like now, like I recently was traveling in Italy this past year. Now that I've come back, like it's kind of changed my approach to doing vegetables. You know what I mean? I was kind of going through like the like Alice Waters style, like, you know, just the vegetables, the salt, the pepper. But now it's like, okay, like let me try. Like I kind of traveled through some different regions where like they were doing some weird shit to the veggies, man. You know what I mean? Like they're doing some weird shit to the veggies, weird spices.
How weird are we talking,
stuff.
Baby?
Yeah, it's like just picture like, didn't happen. Details, baby.
Dude, I'll throw you pics.
No, no, no. But I mean, I want to know the recipes.
No, no,
like,
I don't know the recipes, right, but like right. I just looking.
But you were saying like, this is more interesting. More
interesting,
stuff.
Yeah. And dabbling in Italian, like different cuisine. I'm one of my friends is a food writer, Katie Parla. She just put out a book called Tasting Rome, and she's one of the most like reputable experts in Roman cuisine. And there's a lot of great recipes in that too, where you can kind of see the basics of like Italian cooking, kind of how it evolved in specifically in Rome over the years.
So cool. I mean, that's also, this is slightly off topic, but when you can go somewhere with somebody that's that kind of expert, or I don't know if you're
Like
if somebody is that kind of expert on a cuisine or something in an area, like I'll be like, okay, that's an entire reason for me to plan a vacation just to go
there. If you're in Rome, I would recommend going to Rome just to do Katie Parla's Rome. She has a there's the book about it, but then she also has an app, Katie Parla's Rome. And then
such a good idea.
And then she also she also does like guided tours too. She if she has availability, she'll do guided tours. And that's like that's how I did when I went to Rome this year. She just kind of I met with her and we. Had bites, you know what I mean? Took me
Yo, what's up with
her
friends,
though? Space.
What was the wildest thing you ate in Rome, dog?
In Rome? Well, Rome, I didn't spend too much time in Rome. I was literally only there for like a day, and I just ate all day. Italy overall, I went through a bunch of different regions, and the craziest, weirdest thing I probably ate.
Well, this was when with you and your brother and
Eric Warheim. So I went, we did a bit of travel in Italy in relationship to the show we work on, Master of None.
Very Adam Sandler of you to
go
on location.
On location, aka let's write something so we have an excuse to go to Italy and get someone to pay for it and get a bunch of food.
Smart move,
but,
I said.
You know, we're all, me and my brother and my friend Alan, who's the co-creator of the show, and friend Eric, who's deeply involved in the show, we're just like food, we're all food heads and we love to eat. So the best part about working and shooting in Italy was just getting to eat all this amazing food. And in traveling there, the weirdest thing I ate is we went to this region called Ne. It's called Ne.
How's that spelled?
And it's in the mountains. Yeah, it's in the mountains.
Damn.
And it was basically like we were driving from...
you ever heard of Ne, Andre?
We were driving from like the coast to another city in Rome. And we just heard Katie was like, there's this restaurant in this place called Nay. It's like up in the mountains, out of the way, but it's supposed to be crazy. It's worth going to.
It serves human.
and we went there and, you know, I had never had anything like it before. It was just like different pastas and vegetables, but seasoned and prepared in ways I'd never had before. And then Katie, who's an expert on Italian cuisine, Roman cuisine, she was like, I've never had stuff like this before. And it was just weird, like, oh, this weird, like, potato dish with pine nuts and like all these weird like I'll show you guys as an aside afterwards a visual of it.
Oh, I'd love
if you
to.
You can hit up my if you're curious, my Instagram is the Carolina Gentleman at the Carolina Gentleman. Go a deep scroll, kind of have to be a deep scroll down to my summer pics. you can see I did a lot of food food posts there. I used to not do a lot of food posts on Instagram because people were dicks about it, basically. People were assholes about doing food photography and showing food. And so I was like, well, people don't give a shit. So I'm just like, if I had like a really exceptional meal, I'll do a pic. But otherwise, I'm not going to do anything.
Yep.
But when I was in Italy, it's like I'm having weird, crazy meal after crazy meal. I'm taking all these food pics. And what happened was, is I was traveling with my friend Katie. She tagged me in a couple of meals we had. And she has like a big following on food Instagram. And I got this new influx of followers who are food people, food writers, food fans, and they were loving all the food pics.
Oh.
And then I got back from America. I brought back to America, and I'm like, well, man, I got to give the people what I want. So mm-hmm. now there's you know, I do a lot of food not a lot of food content on my Instagram, but what's great is now the Instagram stories I try to do, I do a lot of like food stuff there, because mm-hmm. that's like I can do like any pretty good, interesting meal. Like I had a great noodle dish in the San Gabriel Valley today at this restaurant, Noodle Cafe. I did a little story about that. I had a little story, me and Jason's cold noodles yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But that meal was crazy. You like drive up in the mountains and it's just like this very specific cuisine to this like small area.
That Nene.
That Nene.
It's a great name.
It's a great name. Nick.
I know. It seems more Vietnamese than Italian, I gotta say.
For sure.
Yeah.
Very wild.
No, the mountain, I mean, for my understanding, and I haven't spent a lot of time, my dad has spent an incredible amount of time in Europe, specifically Italy and Spain, and the mountain regions, the more rustic, kind of removed regions, you will travel upon and discover cuisine that doesn't weird necessarily vibe. Reflect what the country is. It reflects,
yeah,
like literally within cuisine, yeah, a square 20 miles as opposed to mm-hmm. the like the actual country it's in.
Mm-hmm.
They're serving what they can get their hands on mm-hmm. as opposed and to serving what people
and
expect.
It's the OG of seasonal cuisines.
Sure. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
Like, seasonal because they got to be seasonal. They're not trying to like flex. Like,
it's beyond ultra seasonal.
Vegetables. Yes.
When you were talking about on the show, when you were doing the tribute to the white sauce wings, what walk somebody through the white sauce if they might
so
not be familiar with it.
That's a specific restaurant in Nashville. I don't want to mess up the name because we placed the white sauce in a fictional restaurant we created called Tickler's Barbecue, which is just we thought that was a funny name. But shout out to
Tickler's
Nashville.
Barbecue is a funny name.
It's a funny name. We made a funny back there. So there's a couple of places that do it. I think it's called Martin's.
Okay.
Yeah, Martin's. Nashville Barbecue. Wreck it out. And there's a better, if you Google it and Google Master of None White Sauce Barbecue, there's a couple of places. You can maybe peep this article, what Master of None got right and wrong about Nashville. It's actually a very flattering, nice article. Shout out to the person who wrote it. And there's another good article someone wrote on Thrillist that goes through like all the restaurants and stuff we shot in New York where mm-hmm. again we're big food people, so we shot a lot of stuff. And then I can't talk about any of it now, but if you're a fan of the show and you're a fan of food and a fan of us doing dumb foodie stuff,
it's about to go down.
Season 2 is gonna be wild.
We may have crossed the line. We may have crossed the line in terms of doing food stuff.
Really?
I'll you know, after the show comes out, I'd love to come back on and walk you through.
Back and do it. We'll do a walkthrough.
A walkthrough of all the spots because we had a lot of fun shooting.
Is that a promise?
There's probably gonna be some great cameos. Yes. But well, what exactly is white sauce though?
It's like it's just barbecue sauce, and it's I think like a it's just,
and mayonnaise.
Not mayonnaise. It's like a it's similar to like white gravy, like sausage gravy, basically.
Oh, got
it. This is the place in the mountains. Just giving them a quick visual, you can see online. The restaurant was called La Brinca and Ney. I mean, if you're traveling in Italy, like it's worth a trip. It's worth a trip. It's one of the best meals I had in all of 2016.
This is your caption quote: "Hidden high and deep in the mountains of Italy lies La Brinca." One of the most exceptional and unique dining experiences you'll ever have.
Sometimes I hit my Bourdain, you know what I mean?
Solid.
Sometimes I hit my Bourdain, you know what I mean?
Get your TripAdvisor on.
I'm a writer by trade, you know what
you
I mean?
You hit it, baby.
Like
get your TripAdvisor on,
I
for
see
sure.
It.
Other times I post fix and just like, balling on some ribs. You know what I mean? Those are my other captions.
So, on your return, I'm going to put you on the spot here for your return to the podcast after the episodes come out and we can talk about what you did. Can we also tie that into a in-house Indian cooking feast that you drop some knowledge on my dome?
Secrets. I can come make a curry.
I'll come make a curry.
I can come here. Nice kitchen, man. I wouldn't mind cooking your kitchen.
But I'm just saying, I would love to get some inside baseball.
Yeah.
It's
my favorite
thing in the world.
I'll come through and make a curry.
I'll come through and make a curry.
Bring a spice mix. Show you how to make a spice mix. And it's real. I mean, I basically verbalized how to do it. It's very simple, but
sure.
It's really the key is about getting good spices and kind of doing like a good spice mix. And there's kind of some other like little things you kind of learn. I mean, like with any cooking, like things to watch like for in terms of like when the onions are ready and like when to put the, you know what I mean? It's like a visual thing. Yeah. So yeah, we can kind of do a little walkthrough. I'd love to do that.
That's why I love learning to cook from people as opposed to having people send me the recipes on paper, because people ask me for recipes and I'll forget things that I just do from muscle memory. Like, oh, you have to burn the tomato paste when you're making a sauce. And it'll just say it'll say like 2 teaspoons tomato paste, and I'll forget or be lazy or not. Like, I'll just be like, oh, you need to separately, like, you need to pull the onions to the edge of the pan, put the tomato paste in, let it burn to like a dark brown. And then that's actually how you were going to caramelize and bring the sugars out of the tomato paste. Then you stir the onions back in that have been sitting on the side.
Exactly.
But you won't do that in a book, recipe.
That's why YouTube, and I love recipes on YouTube, and I go so deep. Fucking 2 a.m. in the morning, I can't sleep. I'm just like, there's this one video on YouTube of Gordon Ramsay teaching you how to make scrambled eggs.
Oh.
And I've watched it 100 times. It's so great. It's how I make eggs.
Is he with a woman?
No, he's by himself. It's real casual. It's like fun. If you only know angry reality TV show Gordon Ramsay, it's fun Gordon Ramsay who's just cooking and having fun.
Right.
And it's just basically how to do it like traditional, like classic French way, low and slow, mixing it, blah, blah, blah. Stick a dab of butter, eggs in the pan, fry that pan. Bob's your uncle.
Off you go.
The thing I took away from that is like alternating heat, like taking on the heat, off the heat, keeping it spinning. But yeah, I get really deep. I love me and a friend of mine, my friend Katie, who I work with, got really obsessed with food Instagram videos, specifically TasteMade. Those like very quick, like over the top BuzzFeed cooks, whatever, BuzzFeed Tasty, like over the top videos of like cooking stuff really quickly. Like, I don't know, it's just like a visualist and like,
you know, David Cho sent me one today, a TasteMade video of making a Monte Cristo monkey bread.
Ooh, they do wood. Sometimes that's too much. That crosses the line. I love a good Monte Cristo sandwich.
Of course, it's too much. But like in the course of 20 seconds.
Sometimes they cross the line, but sometimes they hit that sweet spot of like, oh, that's like a really cool, good recipe. And me and my friend Katie just message each other on Instagram all the time, different recipes and stuff. But yeah.
We've got to get Katie on this pod.
Dude, Katie would love to talk taste me because that's all we did at work.
Kenny needs to come through.
But especially like the sweets ones, because that's like I don't do much baking and like sweets cooking at home.
Sure.
And I love sweets. That's like, oh, I can kind of vicariously live in that world.
See, that's the thing for me. I don't have the sweet tooth, and I like a great dessert. That's fine.
Yeah.
If someone's like, you should try this, it's really incredible, I'll love it and appreciate it, but like definitely 95% of the time, skip dessert, skip anything. Just like,
but you as a sweet man, let's walk us through. Let's do top five cereals, sweet cereals.
Top five sweet cereals. So as a kid, like,
we were talking about Oops earlier on the car.
So I was talking
Oops.
So Captain Crunch has a specific seasonal cereal called Oops All Berries. Which is, so you know Crunch Berries, right?
For sure.
So there's Captain Crunch, which is like kind of like a corn sweet cereal. And then they came out with Crunch Berries, which was they have like a fruity cereal in there. And then
one year the captain accidentally put them all in there.
Oops All Berries, where it's basically just the berries. And it's presented with the premise that at the Captain Crunch factory, there was an accident that they accidentally made a box that's just berries. So Oops All Berries. And I told Jason, me and my friends in college had a joke where one of my friends would always
Oops
All Berries. And we would just call it Oops. So the joke would just be to call it Oops all the time. Like, yo, man, can I grab a bowl of Oops real quick? Or I was like, yeah, I'll come help you with that. Let me just finish Oops real quick. Just to say Oops all the time.
So good.
But I was really into, so like cereal-wise, as a kid, I only would eat like the sugary, like, mm-hmm. jacked up ones. So
and
kid,
you were allowed to have it.
Yeah, Indian parents didn't. Yeah, that's a white. The monitoring the cereals is a real white people situation.
is that that's true?
Like, sugary cereal. Mom has other problems.
Free reign.
Free.
So
yeah.
You were the house that I just wrecked, just tore apart.
Yeah, I just had.
I would go over to friends' houses that had like, that would have. It'd be like Honey Nut Cheerios. It would be, what was this? Corn Pops?
Corn Pops.
There would be like the Flintstone one.
But these ones aren't even that bad.
Well, yeah.
Those
well,
aren't that bad?
No, these are
well, me. So, these are the ones I had. These are the five I ate as a kid in no order because there's sure. no point in ordering them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Classic Cocoa Pebbles.
Sure.
Cocoa Pebbles. Shout out to Fred Flintstone. Shout out to Barney Rubbs. Shout out to Kyrie Irving, who was on Cocoa Pebbles for a lot of time. They did a thing where it was Kyrie Irving on Cocoa Pebbles and John Cena, the wrestler, on Fruity Pebbles.
Hell yeah.
And shout out to John Cena. John, if you're listening, reach out. I'd love to connect. But so Cocoa Pebbles, Golden Grahams, which is like fucking fake ass, like, you know what I mean?
Golden Grahams is good. I remember Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams is good as fuck. Cocoa Crisp, which is on the bonk, super bonker side. It's just like, yeah. These are like as close to cookies as we can make your cereal.
For sure.
Cocoa Crisp.
They look like cookies. They literally were designed.
Those are so
like
good.
Look like cookies.
Yeah.
CT Square Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I randomly am weirdly obsessed with the fact that the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Twitter is at CT Squares. It's like, is that the best handle for them? I don't know, but I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It doesn't seem like everywhere. The first pick. I feel like Cinnamon Toast then, Crunch was like, that was the Cadillac.
That was
the most. That was the most sugary. There was so much.
No,
powder.
I don't think so. I think a Fruity Pebbles is probably
Fruity Pebbles
a Cadillac
was crazy because that also like swagged out your milk. That was the thing with Fruity Pebbles. It swagged out the milk. Mm-hmm. And then I loved, and I say this one last is I loved Cocoa Puffs. And as a kid, I did this weird thing, and I have yet to try it as an adult, and I'm scared to try it as an adult, but I think one day I will, where it happened where when I was a kid, we'd go to India every few years, and whenever we'd go to India, my mom or my aunts and uncles, when they brought my cousins, is we'd bring some food from America, because like my family's from like really small, like basically like villages and like farming towns type situation, so like we'd only have Indian food cooked at home, so they'd bring like some Tang. I associate Tang with India so much because, like, we'd bring Tang because you could bring powdered drinks. And one of my, it's my aunt's mom. She's like an older relative. She's like a grandma. She just, like, they at one point just brought like an ass of Tang. And they should always have Tang at the house. Like, I always have Tang in India when I go to their house. And, like, they brought, one time my mom brought me, I was like six. So she brought a bunch of Cocoa Puffs. And I started eating them for some reason with eggs. Like, I'd mix Cocoa Puffs with eggs. And then from, like, ages, like, probably, like,
oh, man.
6 to, like, 10, that was, like, a move I did. It was cocoa. It was warm eggs mixed with Cocoa Puffs. And I, like, loved it. It was, like, my favorite breakfast.
Like a cocoa omelet or a cocoa scramble?
No, it was, like, it's a cocoa scramble. It was very much a cocoa scramble.
I feel like this is the wildest thing ever been said on this podcast.
Cocoa scramble
cocoa
is...
Cocoa scramble's wild.
That's like a good cross section between like 5-year-old jail and marijuana.
Yeah,
for sure.
It
hits the three quadrants: jail, child, and marijuana.
My favorite
it's a three quadrant
cocoa
meal:
cocoa
scramble. It sounds like a stoner snack. It's like I put
did
the
you just shave truffle
puff
on it? Like right
my
before
favorite,
you started
all
eating.
All time favorite stoner snack. As an aside, weird stoner snack. Me and my friends used to do. It's classic. Nacho cheese Doritos.
Straight up.
And then...
Respect.
Philadelphia chive and onion cream cheese. You get a little plastic knife. You swag out the Dorito with the cream cheese. God.
Mamma mia.
So good. We'd
how are you so skinny?
Kill, Bob.
How are you so skinny? It's crazy.
I don't eat that anymore. I haven't done a cream cheese Doritos. I'm not trying to go home with that one.
Were you 400 pounds?
That's a thing. I mean, that's a thing. That,
I had a little gut.
That's a thing that a lot of chubbies will do. I've heard of is like a flaming hot Cheeto in a cream cheese dip.
Yeah, well, it's a similar thing. But the chive and onion swags it out,
but
though.
The chive
and
onion's nice.
And then you put it with the knife, and then like the cream cheese would get a little gnar because the nacho cheese would kind of cross over. Like
it was a cross.
We kill it. We kill it. Me and the heads back home would kill it.
All right. Well, that is a good way to end on it because we normally do the best thing we ate all week. But I think I like the best stoner snack of all time.
Go to your local. Go to your grocery store. Get Philadelphia brand chive and onion cream cheese. Get classic Doritos. Get a knife. Try it out. It's a good bite.
Big time.
I'm fixing
too. It's a good bite. It'll be the best bite you have all week.
Andre, ultimate stony snack for you. What say you, my friend?
It's really funny, though, but I know exactly what it is. but it's funny in the context of what we just talked about. It was cereal by far.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Like what I want, if you know, and I.
Is this like a big bowl with milk? Is this dry out the box?
Oh, milk. Like very much.
Is this
just
Home
like,
Alone style, like serving spoon popcorn bowl?
Yeah, no, it's
oh,
definitely.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm getting this visual. And oh, I love it.
It's an inappropriate size bowl. Mm-hmm. It's like mm-hmm. if you took like a salad bowl.
Yep.
And you just dumped Honey Nut Cheerios
mm-hmm.
or Frosted Flakes.
Classic.
Just so I'm looking for texture more than anything.
Yeah.
And the Fruity Pebbles line and the Cocoa Pebbles line, I feel like they lose their texture too quick.
Yeah, that's what I didn't like about Cocoa Peps.
And Kix holds that texture real well. I was into Kix.
Kix is a good bowl, big bowl, yep. big bowl cereal.
Okay. So I would say Kix, Honey Nut Cheerios, Frosted Flakes, or what's the one I mentioned earlier? That's like the big
Corn Pops.
Corn Pops.
Or Smacks.
Strong.
Remember Smacks?
No, what's Smacks?
Smacks was like a Corn Pops type thing with a frog on it. Mm-hmm. Frog
oh
on
yeah, yeah, for yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh yeah, it was very much same my, thing. My Corn Pops.
Smacks.
And last thing, forgot Chex. Chex tight as hell.
Chex pre mix. Some to think some kids have lived in a world their whole life where Chex has existed in a mix.
Chex was the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Life was all right too.
Yeah.
For me, in my early days of stoning, it was the there's a thing that was kind of a cross between a hash brown stick and a tater tot. Where it was basically like...
Is this like a frozen situation?
It was a frozen situation.
What is this magical
a frozen
potato
bag.
I've never heard of?
So it'd be a tater tot. The material is made out of tater tot, but it is presented in kind of like a 3-inch rectangle log.
It's like a hash brown.
Oh, yeah, like
patty.
A hash brown from patty. McDonald's. Yeah. Like a hash brown patty that you get it. You can get them frozen at Trader Joe's. You can get them at
yeah,
Safeway.
They're, no, but they're about 3/4 inch thick.
Okay.
Oh.
So it's almost like a long domino of hash brown.
Sure. Okay, fair.
And do that real extra well done, like oven at 425,
and
450.
Got some dippers in the mix? Or just
the dipper is ketchup, veganaise, and relish combined for a Thousand Island vegan Thousand Island hash tater tot dipper.
Heinz?
Regular Heinz. 57 veganaise, veganaise, relish.
So
maybe
good.
A little salt and pep. Maybe if you want to add a little juice.
Dude, mixing up their own dips. I used to do that Tony Shashery's in some mayo on a turkey sandwich is really good. Same thing you can do that Lowry's too.
Turn.
Lowry's mayo.
Turn.
Lowry's
mayo.
Sound fancy.
Lowry's aioli sound good. All right, guys, another great pod down the tracks.
We did it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Anees, like always a pleasure.
This was so much fun.
My man. If people want to follow you on Instagram and check out all of
Instagram,
your good food pics,
all my food stuff, the Carolina Gentleman at the Carolina Gentleman. I'm also on Twitter at my name Anees A-N-I-Z. Adam Ansari, so I guess I should spell it all together. AnizAdamAnsari.
Mm-hmm.
So on Instagram, I'm like posting my meals and stuff like that. Twitter, maybe I'm like kind of generally just talking about food and generalities. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like ribs be good. That's a tweet I'm
like. Ribs be good.
Ribs be good.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I get it. Burgers are killing it this week.
Oh, shout out to Bergs, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say Bergs. I like calling burgers.
Sure. Anees. He's at the peak of his game in the world of abbreviations, I would say. Nobody does it better.
Nobody.
Andre Canaparo has no social media because that's just how cool he is.
Off the grid.
Don't have any.
Not a grid. I am at themjeans at all social medias. You can go to thestewpodcast.com where all the episodes live. If you like this show, please give us a nice rating and review on iTunes. Click subscribe.
New and noteworthy.
Shout
out, Joe.
Shout outs, Karen, our moms.
And Stewie, RIP.
Shout out
baby.
My mom. Shout out my aunts. Talk about my aunt. Talk about my uncle. Talk about my natty.
Boom,
okay,
boom,
real quick.
Boom,
shout out my mom, Delsha. Shout out my aunt, Alvacar. My uncle, Syed. My nanny, Miss Beulah. My friend, Steven, who got barbecue with me. My buddy, Phil, at the comic book shop. Real quick, one time. For my buddy Troy, who's kind of a piece of shit dude, but he did teach me. Troy's a piece of shit, but he did teach me the Doritos cream cheese move.
Yo, shitty Troy has a good
Troy. He had a good idea with Doritos. That guy has a kid now, and I'm really worried.
R.I.P. Yeah. Shitty Troy.
He's alive and has a kid.
We're worried about you, baby Troy.
Troy
Jr.
We think about you, Troy Jr.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.